I was younger when I was here. You know, when you talk about history, I remember I was at Rock Hill Baptist Church in Jamaica Plain in Boston. I was teaching the adult class before the morning service, and these two men showed up for the Sunday school. And afterwards, they introduced themselves as Linus Buell and Leroy Sanders. That was the beginning. And when I came down here to candidate, you had outside here cowboys and cowgirls, so they evidently had a Western theme for the Vacation Bible School that they had just had. And I remember after we had the new addition built there, we had indoor plumbing. There was one young man that, of course, the children, I think, find it hard to stay with the sermon and so forth. So, so glad they have children's church sometimes. And there was this young man that every Sunday, at some point in the service, he would go out, and we know he was going out to the men's room. I remember Herbert Buell said, well, when we had outhouses, we didn't have things like that. And I'm so glad that Stephen invited me back. I don't know. He had a lot of courage. He didn't know what he was getting into. And I'm so glad that Ruth sang. What a songbird you are. Thank you. And I'm so glad that my family is here. I wonder if my four living children could stand so I could see where they are. There they are. We miss David. Doesn't seem possible. It's been 10 years since he left us. And these children lived 10 years in the old parsonage and 13 years in the new parsonage. I thought at first, well, we'll move into the new parsonage. I'll only be there a year. And the Lord will move us. But we stayed there for 13 years, and you were very patient with this old man. I was very young then. I mean, I could go on and on and on and take all the time for the sermon, and that wouldn't be right. So I must get on with the message. And you heard in the breakfast that Glenn said when we were here, on the back of the church sign there in the triangle was the church sign, and on the back of it, we had printed in black against white, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. So as I thought about this church, you have a wonderful history. You have kept growing and reaching out into your community. And God has a wonderful plan for the future of this church. As a group of believers, The mission of the church today is what it has always been since Jesus gave his disciples what we call the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, if you turn in your Bibles to verse 16, and of course this is the last chapter in Matthew, and it's right after the resurrection of our Lord and the 40 days in which he appeared to many people alive, so that there was no doubt about it, that because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We don't serve a dead Christ. We serve a living Christ. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." I don't know why I was not sleeping too good last night. I was thinking, why did I have such a hard time putting this sermon together? And it was Thursday before I felt that it was all finally together. But all week I was distracted, and I thought, the devil doesn't want you to know God's wonderful plan for this church. And it's the same basic plan that's been with us all through the years. It hasn't changed. I guess it's because people want to say, well, it was nice that Pastor Ekholm was able to come back, and they forget what the plan is. I want you to forget me. I want you to remember the plan. And it's given in all four Gospels and in Acts 1:8. So it's very important. And you notice, when they saw him, they worshiped him. A Great Commission church is a worshiping church, a church that comes together in corporate worship. I'm sure you own, in your own personal devotions during the week, you worship God, you spend time in his presence. You read his word, you pray, and you just thank God for another day. And then we come together on the Lord's Day. We don't sing this very much now, but one of the old hymns is, "Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way." And how wonderful that we can meet together and realize we're not the only believer, although sometimes it seems that way out in the world, that we have our brothers and sisters in Christ, some dear, dear friends. Some of my best friends are here and in Christian churches that I've served. And how wonderful that we can fall down and worship Jesus. And because Jesus accepted worship, he was identifying himself as God, because he had that straight. Remember when the temptation of the evil one there in Matthew 4? one of the temptations of the devil, took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I'll give you," he said, "if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And so here, when Jesus accepted worship, he was identifying himself with God. And some doubted. But if they doubt, come and worship. Come and magnify the great God who created the heavens and the earth. And in time, those doubts will disappear. A Great Commission church is a worshiping church. And of course, can I say a few words? Worship leaders, please remember the old folks once in a while. I know we sing choruses, that's supposed to be for the young people and the young adults. But we grew up with a hymn book. And the other Sunday, the worship leader made my old heart happy. He tucked in among the choruses the old hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, my soul shall rise to thee." And oh, I sang that from my heart with all my gusto that I had. Oh, it's so good to sing an old hymn back again once in a while. And yet I have to say, I am learning to enjoy the newer hymns, especially the ones that have some meat on them. But enough about worship. I could get on a tangent on that one. But you notice it says, Jesus said to them, "All authority." Listen to that. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And therefore, the Lord Jesus has the right to tell us what to do. And if we're not doing it, we're disobedient children." And you notice, pointed out, I'm sure other pastors have pointed out to you, there's only one command in this Great Commission, and that's to make disciples. He assumes that you'll go, but as you are going in your life, your daily life, make disciples of all nations. Begin to have a heart that God has for the world, regardless of their skin color or their culture or their language. We have a very popular church in Portland, Maine, and people are flocking to it. But I want a lighthouse in my community, and so I support my, and always will support my local church. And I give my tithe to the local church. And as I am blessed, I give to others. But the local church is so important. And I think even most parachurch organizations realize the primary importance of the local church. And the local church is the agent for carrying out the Great Commission. So that his command, it is a command, it's not if you feel like it. His command is our mission. And you notice the scope of the command for all nations. I understand that this is not well known to most people, but I understand this popular church believes in baptismal regeneration, that you have to, you're not really completely saved until you're baptized. And I don't think that's in the Bible. But I do believe Jesus said we are to baptize them in the triune God. And it is important as a testimony of our faith. It's a public test. Everybody and anybody can come to a baptism. You don't have to be invited, because that is where people demonstrate publicly that they've taken Christ as their Savior. And as you know, in other Muslim countries and other religions, they might allow you and put up with the fact that some of their relatives are going to church, Christian churches, and associating with those heathen Christians. But when they're baptized, that's the breaking point, because that shows everybody, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life. So it's a public testimony of our faith and how important it is that we come to that. But don't forget the primary emphasis here. The command is to make disciples. And that takes time. We want everything done quickly, but people's hearts are not changed quickly. Not very often. Sometimes they are. It's a dramatic exchange. But other times it takes time, because they have their own ideas of what it should be. And if I should confess, I think that was one of my weaknesses. I had a family of 5 children and a wife. I had a responsibility there, and I tried to keep up with the church. And I wished I had done more discipling. I did before a person was baptized. I always made sure that we had several classes or sessions together before a person was baptized. But I think I wished I had spent more time discipling some of the leaders in the church. I guess I tried to by what I preached Sunday morning and Sunday night, and a brief message on Wednesday night. But don't forget, take time to befriend people. Jesus is interested in people. We have so much stuff that we accumulate that when the floods came, like down south, or forest fires out in California, when people come and they lose everything, but they're so glad if they still have their family together. Life is more important than things. And so don't forget, his command is our mission. And his truth is what we teach. Verse 20, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them, that's not all. Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. I know after a sermon, usually people leave and they have a make a judgment. Well, that was a good sermon. I really got something out of that. Or I've heard better. What they ought to say after a message like this, what is it in my daily life that I can take away from this message and put it practical in my daily life. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And there's nothing more important than our Sunday school teachers and our mothers and fathers, who are, of course, our first teachers of the Word of God, and teaching us how to pray and how to speak to the Lord. So there's no substitute for the local church and for the local pastor. You have good preachers on television. One of my favorites is David Jeremiah. And I think to myself, when he preaches, I preached on that passage, but he does a much better job than I ever did. But they won't call on you when you go to the hospital. So we need pastor, teacher. And then I think his desire is our growth. It's too bad if all people have to say is, well, I went forward in a service, or I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I'm going to heaven. There's more to that. There's where the discipleship comes in. In fact, you turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. I'm going to jump right in the middle of something, but here it is. I'm trying to save time this morning. Speaking about Jesus, it was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. That's why God has gifted men and women to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. God loves unity. The devil is great for dividing families and churches and everything else. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, the full knowledge, as Peter said at the end of 2 Peter, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be growing. Where did I leave off? We will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. It's not my church, it's Christ's church. And we always go to him for direction, right? From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows. Every ligament, everyone is important, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does his work. Well, what are some of the marks of maturity and growth? Well, he goes on and he says, well, it's those that are grounded in the scriptures. In verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. And another point would be that we speak the truth in love. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So you see how important it is that we have love for one another. You know, we all have strong opinions. And you find out at a business meeting, we all want our own way. But as was it? Yeah, wasn't it Jeff? Or was it? No, it was Stephen this morning. It spoke about Leroy Sanders. He had strong opinions. He was a Norwegian from North Dakota. And he would make his point at a business meeting and feel very strongly about it. But then if the vote was taken and the majority of the people there decided to go in another direction than Leroy wanted to go, he didn't go off into a huff. He immediately said, well, the church voted, and he got in on what the church wanted to do. He didn't have hard feelings. And I think that's unusual. Usually it takes longer than that for a Christian to get over their own want, their own opinion. And so how important it is that we have a love for the church and a love for God's people. You remember in the seven churches there in Revelation, in the first church, it was a wonderful church. They adhered to the truth, but they were not loving. And then the fourth church was a very loving church, but they sacrificed truth. And we need both, to adhere to the truth and to speak the church in love. Because you notice we're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So everyone needs to cooperate in fulfilling the Great Commission as each part does its work. So it shouldn't be the work just of a few, but it should be the ones of all of us. And I think most of you feel very ordinary. I do. I don't think of myself as very great. But God takes ordinary people and he enables them to do the work that he wants them to do. So don't minimize your life. Make your life count for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember my mother oftentimes would say, oh, how I want to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And you notice the word faithful. You don't give up. You keep going. And just this past few days, God has brought my attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where I want to close today. His command is our mission. His truth is what we teach. His desire is our growth. And his work is our privilege. So beginning with verse 16 in 2 Corinthians 5. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Now, isn't that something? We have a new perspective on people and on the needs of the world. We're not going to change the moral culture, moral values of this culture, I'm afraid. We try, do what we can. But our job is to make disciples. That's our main job, remember? And so when we look at people, we look at them as those that are lost. It makes my heart grieve when I hear about young people who have a whole life ahead of them. and they commit suicide. Or some other tragedy. And I think, oh, if I could only tell them about Jesus. Jesus loves them. He always has and he always will. How the world needs to know about Jesus. And that's what we ought to see when we see people, not the color of their skin or their different personalities, sometimes are hard to live with or deal with, but they're lost if they don't know the Lord Jesus. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And another part, you know, the Lord Jesus spoke about this transformation that takes place when we come to Christ and give our life to him as like a birth, a brand new birth, a new birth, born again. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I've been impressed with the Lord's Prayer when it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we're not very good at that. But we want God to forgive our debts. Our forgiveness of sin is one of the great blessings of being a Christian. Yes, we want God to forgive us of our sins. But Jesus hitched it together. I don't know. I wish he hadn't. But you remember in Matthew, that's the only point that was mentioned after the Lord's Prayer. How important it is that we forgive and forgive and forgive. And that's the only way a couple can stay married. And that's the only way a church can stay healed and united, is to forgive and forgive and forgive. And so here, you notice, the Apostle Paul joined the two together. You and I have the job of reconciliation in this world that's broken. And we say to ourselves, I don't want the job. I'll give money to the pastor and let him do it. The Bible doesn't say that. Each one can do something to further the kingdom of Christ. And you notice it says it twice. I'm going to read verse 18 again. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself. Thank God. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Hallelujah. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And you notice "and" there? It's joined together. Both of them is of God, and he wants us. Therefore, we're Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're agents of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for the King of Kings. Never forget that. Don't minimize how important you are in Christ's church and in the work for God. I have friends who have a large family, and you think to yourself, well, where do I start? I'll suggest start with prayer. If you don't feel it's your job to be a reconciler, to be an ambassador for Christ, pray about that. And God will change your mind, I think. or at least he'll give you the burden for souls that you know, because you can reach some people that I can't reach. You all have your own friends and families. Sometimes the families are harder to reach for Christ. But don't forget what God said at the end of the Great Commission, that we are to make disciples. And that means to spend time. Do something nice for them. Some act of kindness for no reason at all. Begin to build bridges with your neighbors. Speak naturally about your love and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then I think of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So God's plan for our beloved church should be the driving force and the motivation for all of us to do what we can for the cause of Christ. And don't forget how Jesus ended this. Surely, back in Matthew 28, surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And God keeps his promises. And that is one of the most precious promises, I think, in the scriptures. I remember a prayer group that we had one time. I felt led to say, what is your favorite Bible promise? And one lady said, promise there in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in your old age, you're going to be bearing fruit for the Lord. And that's what I pray. I never expected to live this long. It's just one day at a time, I guess. And for some reason or other, I'm still here. And I am so grateful for this opportunity to give you my heart's burden for this church and for the world. Because Jesus loves you. My friend sent me this email. You know, I'm 91 years old. And this friend said that he stayed home from church one Sunday and he was watching a program from Atlanta, Georgia. And they had asked their retired pastor, who is 92, to speak. And this one that was listening said, I wonder why they asked such an old man to say anything. And so a time came for him to speak, and he shuffled up to the platform. And he said, you know, your pastor asked me if I would say a few words. And what was the most important truth that has kept me going through all the ups and downs of life in our ministry here? And there's one thing that's meant the most to me, and that is, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I thought, here I am. God bless you all.